the first Christmas we had in the house we live in now.
Oh.
We, in a crazy, crazy tornado of events, we moved into this house on December 13th. House flooded a few days later. Basement flooded a few days. I mean, we knew we moved into a fixer-upper, but we didn't quite realize the extent of the timing and the fixer-upper.
Yeah.
It was just, honestly, when I say tornado of events, somehow bronchitis starts sweeping through the home. We were having a tree cutting company cut down the trees. So the lead up to that is like probably still December 20th. We've got people in and out of the house.
Yeah, carpets being replaced, work, painting being done,
stuff
tents being put up.
Then you get poison ivy. Christmas Eve, moving boxes still in a lot of places. I think somebody else had poison ivy. And we had been doing an Advent. That's the funny thing. We were still doing Advent.
We will do Advent every night.
Doing Advent every night. And we'll have all that.
Hey, Christ still reigns, baby.
There was no decor, really. And I remember Kevin dug through some of the boxes and hung up a couple of wreaths in the house and just tried to make it more joyful. And so Christmas Day, Kevin's on the couch with this compress on his neck. And just trying to be as joyful as possible, but you could tell there was a lot happening there. People are coughing. I found like a few cloth gift bags, and so we would like hand out a few gifts and be like, okay, give me the bags, and go run and do an intermission and stuff more gifts in the same bags. And it's probably one of the fun, it's gonna be the Christmas we talk about the most.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Feminine Glory Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Lydia Edmonds, and I'm joined by my wonderful co-host, Esther Edmonds.
Hello, everyone.
And we have two extremely special guests on the podcast today, so let's get right into it.
We have Kevin and Charity. Charity has already been introduced on the podcast. She is our mom, and this is our dad. You are the first male on the Feminine Glory Podcast.
Record.
So it's quite the honor.
I'm hopefully we'll represent the male species well. And but the reality is no going back from here.
Yep.
So it's been, the threshold has been broken.
Yep. It can be viewed as a compliment or a dishonor to be introduced into the women's club.
I know. I gladly walk into this.
So. Actually, he fires us up. So
yeah,
it could
that's
be.
True.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
Scary conversation we're about to have.
It's going
to
be great.
All right, so we're just going to start open with the first question. So we're talking about Christmas. So, and we thought, who better to talk about Christmas than you two? Mm. So when do we start decorating for Christmas, and how did that tradition begin?
You answer that.
Okay. Well, so here, this is controversial, apparently. Like, I keep hearing, like, and we've heard for years and years, like, people will drive by and they're like, your lights are up way too soon. So October 31st is Reformation Day, Halloween, whatever. We're not against you trick-or-treating. We honestly don't care. But it's just, we've always celebrated Reformation Day. But October 31st kicks off Reformation Day and we start decorating for Christmas. And the reason for that is because we had a family member. We had a death in the family, and it was somebody really close to us, and it was really sad. And we knew the lead up to it was all enough time to know we were making plans for the spouse to come and stay with us for a time, and we were excited about that. Really excited about her coming to stay, and it was going to be a bit of an extended period of time. But the lead up to it was all. Just a lot, and so we wanted to, in an effort to try to make it a little bit more special for her coming into our home for that time, we decorated that year for Christmas way early. It happened to be that weekend of Reformation Day. We decorated, the death was imminent of the person, so we decorated and traveled. Funeral and all of that happened. And then she came back with us and stayed for a while. And the reason why we knew that that was going to be a special time for her to see, to come back to something cheerful, was because Christmas is that. Like, it's so exciting. It's Christ with us. And so we wanted her to enjoy that time. And ever since, it's become such a tradition. We all loved it. And she, to this day, expects it, too. So it's just... Sure. that's kind of where it started. I know it's controversial, but yes, we are those people. We still celebrate Thanksgiving hardcore.
Oh, yeah.
We just do it with Christmas lights and trees everywhere.
But it almost aids in the Thanksgiving celebration.
I think it
if you're surrounded by Christmas already.
Yeah, I think it does too.
Well, because for us, we've already celebrated our harvest, so.
Yeah. Right, right. And we are those people that have like trees in every room and Christmas decor in every room. And so I don't want to do Thanksgiving dinner anyway. And then turn right around and decorate for 3 or 4 days in a row before we can enjoy the Christmas season and all of the decorations and all the lead up.
So but not like 8-foot trees in every room.
No. Well.
No.
Downstairs, but like upstairs.
Right.
Yeah. Smaller. Right.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Well, it might not be 8-foot trees, but they're elaborate designs. There's some architecture going into.
Yeah. So the answer to your question is, are we those people? We are those people, but we feel justified.
We're probably...
we're always extra.
We're justified in our kookiness.
Yeah, we're always extra.
So, for those who may not know, can you walk us through what Advent is?
Yeah, so Advent simply means, the word means arrival or coming. And so it's the... for Christians, it's the long-awaited arrival of our Messiah, the Lord Jesus. And so Emmanuel, God with us. And so he fundamentally changed everything. So he did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. And so he is our Lord. He is our Savior. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And so he came, and because he came, we celebrate. And so Old Testament Jews were longing for this, expecting, longing for this Messiah to come. And so we in this first coming, and then he came, and then now we as New Testament believers are longing for his second advent, his second coming. And so he rules and reigns from heaven, and we rule and reign alongside of him. But we do so longing for the culmination of his second advent, his second coming. So Advent just means coming or arrival.
So traditionally, how long is Advent? Like what time frame?
Yes, so it depends on if you're talking for the church in the sense of like church services, or if you're talking about the church on an individual level, like the families. And so they coincide, but like typically there's 4 weeks prior to Christmas would be that. And so it could be it's the last Sunday in November that leads up until the Sunday prior to Christmas. And so that would be kind of the church calendar. And then most individual families are going to celebrate December 1st through December 24th or December 25th.
So then we also added on a couple years ago, the 12 days of Christmas actually come after Christmas. Can y'all explain the buildup from Advent into the 12 days of Christmas and the significance of both?
Yeah, so most think 12 days of Christmas is like a marketing ploy. So, you know, it's like, you know, we're moved over after December 25th, and it's now like getting ready for New Year's Eve. And so it's like you have to get all your Christmas presents bought prior to then. And so all the like, commercial things that you see pushes the 12 days of Christmas to be prior to. The last 12 days before December 25th is the 12 days of Christmas. But theologically, that's not how it's set up as far as the church. It's in the church calendar. So we said... first 4 weeks prior to Christmas Day would be Advent, and it's all preparation, anticipation for Christ's coming. Then you have Christmas Day, like the day of his arrival. And then that's where then the 12 days of Christmas kicks off, and it goes 12 days, of course. So December 25th to January 6th, and it culminates on January 6th with Epiphany, and that would be celebrating the day that the wise men allegedly, the wise men were there and showed up to worship the baby Jesus. And so that's what would end the 12 days of Christmas would be when the wise men would have showed up. So what is typically called Epiphany.
Which essentially makes way more sense.
Yeah. So we do them both. And so we're all about the anticipation, the preparation, and then clearly the celebration as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, what are some of the traditions our family has developed over the years, and then how have those helped shape our time together during the season?
Well, we, I guess, we back up, if we back up, and just give like a broad picture, and then if you have any more pointed questions, but We do, like, beginning on December 1st, we do, like, each night, like, a family worship, sort of. It's like, and it's not like a long drawn out thing, but he writes an Advent devotional for us, and so we do that. And that's really what it centers around. Our Advent season centers around those family worship sessions, which is led by us walking through the Word in some sort of way. It's different every year. It's exciting every year to find out what it's going to be. And then, my part is, actually we do it together a lot now because he's just such a great planner. But we go through and make these little cards, and everybody, or each night somebody opens a card and it gives some sort of activity or treat or something fun we're going to do. It's a surprise. And so it might be like where we sit down and do our lessons, sing some songs, and then open up the card, and it's, you know, get in the car, we're going somewhere, or and it's a surprise, or open this present, or look for this present, or, you know, different things. It's always different. It changes every year. There's some things we stick to, but traditionally, that's what we do. It's a family worship session, so to speak. Lesson, songs, joy and laughter, and some sort of activity or treat given. And I think it shaped us because, well, for one, it shaped us because it's a real, like, kickoff to this new, like, church calendar year with a bang.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think, too, it's really shaped us in the sense of, like, it's helping us know, like, this was not just a momentary thing. It's a culmination of prophecies, and it's a culmination of this story we've been reading. Typically by that time of year, too, like, we read through the Bible chronologically as a family every year, and so it comes, you know, this is that time of year where you can almost feel the drumbeat getting louder and louder and louder and louder and louder, and then boom, here we go, and we do this, like, every night. It's crazy and chaotic to have something every night, but it's something we always all long for and want to do. I think you can see where it grows us as a family. I think it grows us in fellowship. I think it grows us in the Word. I think it grows us in worship. And I think it really does help prepare our hearts. And then it carries on. That carries on throughout the new year, every year. I think it's just a great kickoff to that.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. If somebody didn't have the ability to write their own Advent, they have no idea what it looks like, they're just now jumping into it, what are some Advent book recommends that they could walk through?
Yeah, we did several. I can't remember all the titles.
Sinclair Ferguson has a couple of
really
good ones.
That was our last one we did. Mm-hmm. I think years and years ago, we started off with John Piper devotional that we used. And then last year, we have our own, but the church we are attending, the TRC, Grant Van Brimmer wrote one, and it's available, I think, it's Behold Your King, and it's great. It's a great, so if you don't have one, that would be a great one to get, especially if you have, children of all ages, but even if you have small littles, those would be a good one for them to be able to participate
and
in.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, there's also one in God Rest You Mary by Douglas Wilson.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the appendices or something.
That's
he has.
Right.
He has like a bunch of devotionals.
Yep.
Awesome. So, Dad, could you share more about the daily Advent lessons you created for us, and then what inspired you to write them?
Yeah, so since we were using other resources, those were good, but it just didn't quite capture what was in my heart for us. And it can kind of stand alone. And so some of the criticisms about really going outlandish or doing a lot is, you know, is it commercial or whatever? And so just tying it together to where our family is and what's going on with our family. And so if Jesus is the reason for the season, if Jesus is the preeminent one, if Jesus, it all centers around his being made flesh, his tabernacling, dwelling with us, then it just, sometimes a lot of those other devotionals were just individual sermons that they would preach through, and then they just kind of put them into a devotional. And so it just didn't quite capture the essence of what I wanted you guys, our family, to see, that he is the needle that threaded through all of this, that all the prophecies were fulfilled in him. And so I think it's 2022, we did the Dragon Slayer. And so I wanted to start back to the first promise, the first like mini gospel that in the midst of the curse, there's hope. And so it was the Dragon Slayer, that, the, you know, the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. And so we just took that theme and just followed through to see how the gospel would be shared all throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, of course, culminating in the kingship of Christ. And so that's kind of how it started. And it just, we had no idea how explosive that was going to be within our family. And so from there, it was Prepare to Meet the King, which was, what, 2023. And then 2024, I'm blanking. What was 2024?
Shadows?
Shadows of the Savior. Mm-hmm. And so where Colossians said, these are but a shadow of the substance, which is Christ. And so the whole themes are always trying to then point back to see Jesus in the Old Testament and New Testament, and that he is the preeminent one. And so this, he, in order for him to die, he had to live and he had to be one of us. And so that's really the thread that I wanted us to continue to see. Because I think in many times in churches, it's the mindset about Jesus is just these random New Testament stories. You don't see how the Old Testament, mm-hmm. New Testament fits together. You don't see the beauty of what Jesus' actual coming, how many prophecies did it fulfill. Mm-hmm. And so that's how you can then get unhitched from the Old Testament, because you don't think it's important, and it's absolutely vital. Mm-hmm. And so I definitely wanted us to be able to see that. And then Christmas absolutely takes on a completely different mindset. And so then every night it's like, you see things that you maybe have never seen before. And then now, because of the, you know, of that kind of study, you're not as shocked when you hear things and you're like, somebody say, did you know this? And many times y'all are like, oh yeah, we've known that for a minute now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so it matters what you're teaching your children, and it gives a tremendous way to build anticipation, not for just presence, but for the actual presence of God, right? The actual presence of Christ in our life. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So for some people who might be like, well, that's great that y'all can do that, but, you know, y'all have had older kids for a minute now, and we have small kids, and they're just, their attention span is just really short, and there's only so much you can do with little kids, and it's just not feasible. What are some practical ways that y'all would give as to how they can celebrate Christmas with little kids? Mm. It doesn't have to be just the devotion. The devotion and the, which I think we already got into some of that, but then also the fun
activities.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have done this since y'all were really little. And so, I mean, really, we've done, I don't even know how many years it has been, but it's been since everybody was really little. And
I don't remember not doing anything ever.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to think the other day, when did that actually start? And I guess when there were four of you, maybe, is when it, because it started when y'all were really, really little.
Yeah.
Also too, I think it's important to say, that we do like a preparation of readings before Reformation Day. Mm-hmm. We do a preparation of readings before Easter. We've read like through certain books together before Easter. They're not coming to mind. Some by John MacArthur maybe, mm-hmm. and other authors or just passage reading. So we're trying to like center our lives around
as well as daily Bible readings.
That's right.
Chronological Bible.
That's right. That's right. So it's not like we're just Christmas fanatics.
Yeah.
We are Christmas fanatics because of Scripture and because of how that leads. So with that being said, though, I think so for little kids, I think parents tend to underestimate what they are capable of, mm-hmm. and I would also say on the other side of that, the things that we've done at home, by way of sitting you down, or like he's read Chronicles of Narnia, or I mean, I've read to you throughout the years since you were very, very little. Kids love that kind of a thing. And what we've actually noted is that those were the things that prepared you to sit at table conversations when we've been invited to people's houses. You were able to sit still and pay attention more because you had that at home during our table fellowship. So it's just it's like a build up, basically, to like all of that training helps in so many ways. when you go to people's houses, when you're in the church services, all that stuff. And we've seen the benefits of that. So as far as it goes, like with little kids, though, there's so many fun things you can do. I think, like, of course, at that time, music. Kids mm-hmm. love, especially like if you let them stand up and do motions. And it's a great way to train them in learning a lot of the Psalms.
You let us do our karaoke to our favorite Christmas song.
Oh, that's right.
I remember.
Yeah, and so there's so much you can do with music. Let them fake play guitars, and or if they, I think y'all had little ukuleles and guitars and stuff. All that's great, fun. I think you need to add that in. The lessons at that time were probably never more than 10 minutes, if even. There were probably between 5 and 10 minutes each, wouldn't you say, mm-hmm. maybe?
Yeah. Pretty short.
Yeah, and then like, and it, they were directional even then, so it wasn't just like this, let's pick this verse, let's, they were directional at that point too, and that, like we said, there's lots of resources, but as far as like the activities, I have heard that so much, so there's so many people that have said that to me, but I've got like, you know, little kids, I do get that, like we've had that, we had stair-step kids, it's a lot, but it's really though, like if you think about it, to me, like, this might be also controversial, but so I don't know. I think of like the shepherds, right? And the angels start singing and they're like, oh! You know, and this big like thing. It was not like just this like quiet, still situation of like, we're just gonna sit and enjoy candlelight at Christmas, and
yeah,
we want it to be peaceful and still.
What if I saw like minimalistic?
It's so ridiculous. It's like Christ came onto the scene, they knew he was coming from like years and years upon years beforehand from all of the prophecies, and then this culmination, and angels are like singing to shepherds, and then it causes a big ruckus, and there's a whole lot going on, there's a king trying to find out who this is and try to murder. I mean, there's so much happening in that moment. I just, the kids need to know that you just don't like wake them up and throw a present at their feet like ta-da, and like you just had the most peaceful Christmas and probably watched Hallmark movies for a month up until, like, that's not Christmas.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with the occasional movie like that, but like that's not Christmas. Christmas is like laying down your life like Christ. And so women, I think it's your time to shine. And so especially with little kids, being able to build those memories when they're little is so vital. And it's not difficult. Honestly, like you don't have to buy some $250 thing, Advent thing. Make something fun. Let your kids make something with you.
We did like the Christmas cookies, and then we had to go give it to somebody. So we all made the Christmas cookies, and then we went to go give it to a stranger or somebody you knew from church.
Oh, yeah.
Or
quite honestly, when you guys were little, like I had like 24 things written out, but I never designated it to the specific day until I knew how the day was going. Mm-hmm. And so like if it was a particularly hard day, maybe it was a hard day with discipline, or maybe there was a hard day because somebody was sick, or maybe somebody randomly came over, or I had extra things added to me that day, it would just be a day where I would like give you a candy cane while we did our lesson. It could be as simple as that, but when there's myriad things you can do with little kids that like, okay, a Christmas coloring book from the Dollar Tree even, and a new package of crayons. Mm-hmm. And you get to color while Daddy does this lesson, but listen to the lesson, and then you get to show everybody what you did, right? Because if you do things like that, they're going to think it's more important. Well, that takes zero time on my part, other than I went and bought the book. Or maybe he went and bought the book. Like, we take turns doing stuff like that. Give like a candy cane. We didn't usually let you guys run around and have a candy cane, and so it would be like, oh my word, I get a whole candy cane here. Or I mean, it can be hot chocolate is a huge mm-hmm. thing with kids. What I'm saying is like those things are so simple. It takes the time of like one night before Advent starts writing them all down on a card, and or writing down your ideas, however you want to do it as simple as you want, but the point is don't do it so simple that it costs you nothing. That's more the point. Make it be something special.
I remember even sometimes you would give us like Christmas socks that we could wear.
Oh yeah, on the Christmas morning.
Christmas socks is still a thing. Yeah. And Christmas socks are so cheap. There's usually like one or two days in after Thanksgiving, like Black Friday maybe, or what is the other one?
Cyber Monday.
Yeah. You can see which one I pay more attention to. And those socks are like $2 or something ridiculous. And they don't last long, but I mean, you don't want them to. Some of them have actually, but some of them don't. And then you just throw them away and give a new pair up.
I don't know, maybe somebody's wearing their Christmas socks in like March.
Yeah. Well, we have also too, like little boys. little boys think like Christmas lights are just it.
Mm-hmm. Especially if they're colorful.
Yeah. And so, like, I didn't particularly think it would be fun to have, like, all the bright Christmas lights in our normal decorations. But if you give a little boy a strand of Christmas lights and you're like, decorate your room. Oh, my goodness. Like, you know, and again, like, a $5 box of Christmas lights from Walmart or whatever. And it's, like, just the most fun. The point is, like, know your flock. We were talking about, like, know your flock and be creative. In such a way that you're pointing them to this moment of Christ with us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, especially with young kids, a lot of times parents or the kids struggle to stay in bed. Like if they've just been out of a crib and now they're in their toddler bed and they keep finding themselves in the parents' bedroom. And you're like, you know, and so it's even like it can be a discipline issue, right? But if they have their, I know we got for you guys when y'all were small, I don't know what they're called, but it's like these little spotlights and it like shines and it like shines Christmas, you know, ornaments on the ceiling and they're moving around and all this, or it's like snowflakes or whatever. And so there's light in the room, there's activity in the room, there's movement in the room. Some might even have music associated with them. And so it creates a place for also to help you in training habits at your kids for an entire month. You're helping your child want to be in their bedroom, right?
Yep.
And so in their bed. And if you're not in your bed, the lights aren't on. So this is what you go to sleep to during Christmas, right? And so by the time Christmas rolls through, they've been in bed for a month, you know, and so they've been able to stay. And so if you're also transitioning that, think about ways that you're also training your kids. We don't ever want to move away from Deuteronomy 6, where when you rise up, when you lie down, when you walk about, teach them these things. And one of those things is obey your parents, right? And so, you know, if we're going to teach them to obey God's commands, then let's help them do it in creative ways. And so you can incorporate things that will help you to your children have success after Christmas. I mean, that's what this point is. Yeah. Jesus transformed the world, which includes us. And so what can be transformed are things you can help your kids with. And that's where I just think it's like the mindset of, is this simply about, is it simply commercial because you're commercial? You're at the center of your heart is commercial. Or is the center of your heart Christ? And if the center of your heart is Christ, then how do I help my kids love Christ, know Christ, obey Christ? And so it's one of the things we say here, obey today, right? So how do you help them? And so incorporate that into ways that you can train your kids.
Yeah, I think that's so good too. And it makes me think of the idea of like, the sights and sounds of Christmas. It's like when you go outside on a new spring day, on a new spring morning, and you can smell the first time somebody cut their grass for spring, it just smells alive. Or you see a bird or a butterfly or whatever, a rainbow, flowers starting to sprout up from bulbs you planted. Like, it's exciting. You can smell it. You can see it's tangible. That's all. It's just making it tangible. I'm not saying it's like, it isn't like, thus saith the Lord, you need to do Advent with your kids. That's definitely not what I'm saying. But from somebody who's done it as long as we have, I've seen so many benefits, I could never name them all. And I just think like making that the Christmas, not the idea of Christmas, but like making Christmas as we see it in the Bible and why it's important. Jesus came to earth, Christ with us, Emmanuel, the whole thing, and all that the Bible pointed to. Making that tangible for kids especially is, I would say it's vital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we've talked about philosophy behind why you would need to do it even with other kids and some of the practical tips. So how has the maybe more of the activity transitioned as now that we've gotten older?
Once again, it's how do we help develop you? How do we help capture your your imagination still. The thing that we say around the house all the time is we don't ever want the magic to go away, right? And so with that, you as a parent have to grow. You have to keep casting vision and knowing your children and knowing, you know, to know well the condition of your flock. So that's a proverb, about business proverb, but it's true for your own family, right? And so you want to turn a profit. And so how do you continue to do so? Well, you do so by knowing what your children like. And so continue to have conversations with them to know what are the things that they do. And so one of the things we, in order not to lose that, we started doing for you guys as you got older, and you can incorporate it when you were younger. We just didn't do it. But we have nights designated for each of you. And so everyone has a particular night that's maybe themes that you like, parts of the world that you think would be cool that you can kind of visit, that you can do things for. And it's a tremendous opportunity to test when somebody has a night that's designated for them. How well do the other children respond, right? And it's a great opportunity to talk about selfishness, envy, right? And rejoice with those who are rejoicing, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's ways of just incorporating things that would be where the kids like it. And then allowing them to help. We'll have pizza nights where they decorate, we'll make our own pizza crust, and then everybody has to draw out of a container particular items. And so if I drew and it said an ornament, I have to make my pizza in the shape of an ornament. So we have the dough and we got to roll it out into a way that looks like that. It might say a stocking. It might say a Christmas tree. It might say a whole host of things. It might say the nativity. And you have to like decorate your pizza in that way. Well, you know, you could still do it with really, really small children. It's just, you know, the outcome may not be as as exciting. I don't know what that is. But, hey, good job.
Good job. Yeah.
So, but as they get older, you know, they can do that making cookies together, gingerbread houses. And then incorporating it where some of your earlier ones were Christmas movies that you would do, the family favorites would get incorporated into that. And then how does that transition? And how we try to grow with you. And so we'll have an elf night, we'll have a Polar Express night, and we'll have a variety of movies that were special to you guys. And so, but they change because we don't want to keep doing the same thing. We want to push so that the magic continues, because it's an opportunity for us to bless you, and it's an opportunity for us to train you so that way you can continue to carry this on with your children. And so, yeah, they just change from, you know, it might be, you know, we're not going to be like, hey, now color this while Dad teaches. You have to mature with your kids. And so at some point I'd get really boring. Yeah. Or y'all would be like, the next Leonardo da Vinci or Picasso or something. And y'all are going to be tremendous artists. So.
No, but it has changed into some fun things. Like, mm-hmm. We want you to create a 3-course meal.
And
serve it. Right.
Even though I feel like some have now transitioned into, we're sharing it with even people outside of the family.
Yeah.
Because
it's
just grown so much since people have heard we've incorporated, which has also been a fun new addition.
Yeah.
Well, I say new, it's been a couple years
now.
Yeah.
And that's another fun thing you can do even with little kids is we're going to have a hymn sing.
Yep.
And so come over, we're going to have some fun things to eat and drink and have a hymn sing, and you just invite a few families over, or one family over, or whatever. And those types of things are a lot of fun. Or today is the day that, you know, we do one, we've done this for forever, I think. It's like, today's the day we're taking a treat to the neighbors. And so sometimes I would bake it alone. Sometimes I would bake it alone, let you help me write a card or whatever. And then it's transitioned into everybody being part of that. Or we're going to take treats to the people at Daddy's work today, and we might do that. That's something that's definitely grown. And so some of them are really fun because you can take something small when the kids are little and really like grow, help them grow in skills with it. And it, like you said, it's more than just that day. We're building towards something bigger.
So would you say there was a particular moment when you decided to be more intentional about observing Advent?
Yeah, I think that, I can't remember exactly, but I think it really did come in concert with, I think in 2012, 2013, we adopted a chronological reading plan, and we've done that ever since. So, we love it as a family. We all do it together. We're able to have conversations about it. And I think it was around that time that, as we just read through the scriptures as a whole. Once again, what was the, in 2023, when we talked, or 2022, when we were talking about it, seeing Christ threaded through everything, I think it was when we saw the meta-narrative, the entire gospel story, the story of redemption through all the length of pages of scripture. It was like, it just naturally became the next thing. It's like, well, then because when we're reading through now, it's October, and like we're in the Old Testament, and it's like, dude, I went through, major prophets, minor prophets, and it's like, man, we're so longing for Jesus to come, and then it's all of a sudden the New Testament. And it was just that became the mindset of like, he's come, he's here, he's incarnate. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Easter, he's died on the cross for our sins. So I think it was that. And so two themes for us: work hard, play hard. We demand excellence in our house. We want to do things as unto the Lord. And so that requires not perfection, but excellence. So we want to work hard, and then we want to play hard. And so in that way, that's something that we desire to do. And then the other thing would be obey today. Mm-hmm. And so we want to obey every single day. And so I think that in concert with the reading plan in 2012, 2013 was the catalyst for it.
Yeah.
So for those who think that, like, man, your Christmas is just way over the top, which, I mean, who wouldn't come? I don't think we've ever had anybody come outright and say that, but it has definitely been made known that
implied.
We are, very, very over the top. So people think we're way over the top in how we celebrate Advent, that it's too much effort to do it that way. What would you say in response to that? Kind of like, give this as your argument now.
I think, so the argumentation against that is usually, it's too commercial, it's too much, you're materialists. Which is just ridiculous. There is material in the world that God uses. No, we're not materialists. We're not commercial. We're not being commercial. The way that we imitate Christ, as I see it in Scripture, is to lay our lives down for others and to also imitate him as faithful image bearers. He's creative. He is a father who gives good gifts. He designed this incredible meta-narrative that is full of side stories that we will never know all of the things that, even though we have it in the pages of Scripture, we will never fully comprehend all of that in his intricate detail to make it come about. And yet, the things that we do see should make us awestruck. Mm-hmm. And I think that in light of that, I think if we're going to be faithful parents, our kids need to see that about God.
Add to that materialism is we're not Gnostics. So, 1 John's written to contradict that. Him you've touched, you've handled, right? And so Jesus' incarnation and being truly God and truly man, and God the Father is a spirit. And so you're like, okay, now it's this dualistic mindset, like material bad, spiritual good. Then you're living and walking in heresy, because Jesus was fully man, right? Physical, and fully God, spiritual. And so he was both. And so in that, material things aren't wicked. And so I just think in this, we have to understand our king reigns. Every inch of this planet, Christ says, mine. And so, man, I don't want to surrender any ground. Yeah. And once again, we want to celebrate. We want to rejoice. Christ changed everything, right? We're from the Sabbath to the Lord's Day. He transformed everything. And so, and we absolutely want to make a big deal about that. And so we're not Gnostics. We're not dualistic in our mindset. It's not like, so like the material can be used for evil. But at the same time, it's not in and of itself evil. And so that's one aspect. And then you actually, one thing I was going to say that you touched on was Matthew 7:11. If you who are evil, you fathers who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more so your father, your heavenly father, give you good gifts if you ask, right? It's just a passage on prayer. But it's from the argument from the lesser to the greater. You're evil, but you give good gifts. And so, but then if you compare that to Luke 11:13, It's exactly the same, but instead of how much more shall your Heavenly Father give you good gifts, it says, will your Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit? Mm-hmm. So the greatest of gifts that the Father could give you was the Spirit. Jesus says, it's better for you that I leave, that the Helper may come. And so as a father who was evil, and now God, our Heavenly Father, has given me Himself, has given me the Holy Spirit, shouldn't I give better gifts? Shouldn't I, as a husband and a father, lead out in giving good gifts? And so I want to put a challenge out to all the men, all the fathers, all the grandfathers, be the best gift giver. Right? You be Father Christmas. You give the best gifts. You should lead out in that. You should want it to be magical. And I'm saying the gifts don't have to equate, good gifts don't have to equate to lots of money, right? I mean,
the thoughtful
gifts, right? Mm. I mean, where it's like in Simon Magnus in Acts 8, and he's like, wants to buy the Holy Spirit, right? And it's like, your heart's wicked and evil, right? So it's not anything you can buy. At the same time, be mindful of your flock, be mindful of your wife, be mindful of your kids. How can you help them? How can you encourage them? And so I just think, that in an argument from the lesser to greater, how much greater is it now that those of us who were evil have been born again, born from above, and we need to lead out in giving good gifts.
Mm-hmm. So on that side note, I'm going to interject here because it made me think of something, because you're never going to say this about yourself, but I probably told you this before, but I'm going to tell it to you again. I remember reading through scripture and I came across that verse, and it kind of just really struck me. That I was like, an inexplicable trust in God, because that verse became a really big reality for me, because I was like, my dad does know how to give me good gifts. And so it really helped me when I've been asking God for the desires of my heart that were hopefully in line with His will. Then it was like, Lord, I know that You are going to give me a good gift no matter what the answer is, because my dad gives me good gifts. And I've seen that come true. And I know that You give me even better gifts than him. Mm-hmm. And so it really came a reality point for me, because I was like, this is exactly right. Mm-hmm.
And to that point, thank you. That's the Holy Spirit. It's definitely my Heavenly Father who prompts that. But to that point, it's like, then dads, don't be lazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, don't, if you have to work harder, work harder. You are investing. And so you're investing into the future, into eternal souls. And so I think a lot of times it's like, well, that's the wife's thing. She likes to decorating. And it's like, man, cast a vision for once again, the spiritual. What are you heading for? What are you doing in your home? And so I think it's always better in tandem than one or the other just doing it all themselves. And so I wanted to do things that would continue to surprise Charity. And so there'd be all these little things. And I still do so. But when we started partnering together, it just ramped up to something even greater.
Yeah. And I think, too, it's shown us, like, the greatness that can come out of a covenantal love marriage. And then, too, the thoughtfulness when you're talking about investing. You aren't investing in building relationships. I think that's been bigger than even the gifts. It's like, I remember mentioning that I was interested in this back in the summer. And here is this gift to help me in what I said I was interested in.
Yeah.
And so it really is more, it's beyond the gifts. It's like the thoughtfulness behind it builds a more solid relationship.
Yeah. So it is a lot of work.
Yeah.
It is work. It should be. But it's a work that's definitely worth it.
Mm-hmm. So what is your favorite Advent tradition?
Ooh.
You start this one.
Me start. Okay.
You can't cry, though.
Try not to. So we have done this one thing, I think, every year forever.
Okay.
But it's definitely been a bigger challenge, but I'll explain. So we always have a gingerbread house night.
Yes.
That has turned into like gingerbread village somehow over the years. Mm-hmm. And so everybody creates part of the village. And the reason why I love it so much is because I like orderliness and neatness and cleanliness.
Not you.
And this night, though, is the opposite of that in every way. And it usually has to be actually like a weekend afternoon, because it takes so long. Where, you know, when y'all were little, we would give a few boxes of graham crackers and some store-bought icing and some little candies, and that was that, and it was fun. And now it's grown into this whole thing where we are making various types of flavored gingerbreads and colors. chocolate gingerbread and regular gingerbread and probably some sugar cookies along the way and shortbread or whatever. So there's many batches of many things. Anyway, it's just a mess. The kitchen is completely blitzed. There's loud Christmas music playing. Everyone's had so much candy that we're all delirious. There's probably hot beverages being passed around and eggnog and who knows what else.
Icing in the hair.
And it is just the most chaotic fun I ever have. I love that night. I love it so much every year.
Mine would be Christmas Eve. We exchange names. And so then they had plenty of time to buy. We have a set amount that everybody has to spend within. And then a note is typically a letter is written to the person. And then Christmas Eve, we open those up and pass them out and everybody reads. And it's a night of mostly a lot of tears. And exciting things. And this, you begin to see genuine thoughtfulness on display. And so, Christmas Eve. And there's a whole host of other things that happen on Christmas Eve, but that would be a big one for me.
As long as you don't give a birdhouse.
It's usually
a whole other story with the birdhouse.
It's usually too, like, our very, like, our more elegant night.
Yeah.
So we, it's a more elegant scene. Mm-hmm. Dinner is, and there's a fun ocean noel and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
I love those.
All right, I've been dying to ask this question. What is the most hilarious and unexpected thing that has ever happened to you during the Christmas season?
Oh, I think I might know yours.
What is mine?
You say it and I'll see.
So the most hilarious or unexpected?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say unexpected because I knew it was coming, but for someone else it was unexpected. It was, we got engaged on Christmas Eve. And so, but what's hilarious about it was I almost had to tell her I was about to propose to her to get her to the location I needed to get her to. That was a real freak out moment. I was like, I'm going to have to tell you because you will not go with me to this one particular room.
We were hosting a party at my parents' house that night. A Christmas Eve party. Your parents were coming.
Everyone.
I don't remember
coming.
Who
else. It was a bunch.
It was a big thing. And I was like, okay, the Christmas Eve service is over. We got to go. I got to help my mom. Let's go.
Your wedding planner instincts were just...
Yeah, I was like, I need to go. And we had ridden, we rode together. So I was like, I got to go. Come on. And he was just like, wanted me to do this other thing. I could not figure him out, so...
Yeah. And so I was...
And he wanted to ask me to marry him.
Once she got in the room and saw everyone, then she was like, oh. But I was like, I'm going to have to ruin my own proposal to get you into this room because she's like, I need to be there before our guests arrive.
Can you imagine?
Oh, my word.
I command you to come with me. I'm going to ask you to marry me. Let's go. Oh.
I ask her then, and then I'm like, and we're going to go in this room, and you're going to fake it.
Even in that way, he's probably like, I don't know if I want to marry you. You won't follow me.
So, unsubmissive woman. So, yeah, no.
Yeah. I wear the pants in this relationship.
That's right.
I felt really bad after, but I just didn't know. And yeah, anyway,
she wasn't being a jerk about it. It was just like, she had genuine concern. Mm-hmm. And the excuse I gave was a pretty lame excuse about, like, we were both on staff at a church at the time. And so it was like, we've got this meeting. And she's like, who has a meeting on Christmas Eve?
Yeah. I was like, a meeting? Yeah. What do you mean a meeting?
And it was a meeting. It wasn't a lie, but it wasn't a very clear...
most important meeting of your life.
Yeah, it was a clear explanation there because I was like, wasn't expecting her to be so desirous to leave. So anyway. So yeah, it wasn't very hilarious at the time, but it was memorable.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Oh, do you want to know mine? Mine would definitely be the first Christmas we had in the house we live in now.
Oh.
Mm.
We... In a crazy, crazy, just tornado of events, we moved into this house on December 13th. Mm-hmm. House flooded a few days later. Basement flooded a few days. I mean, we knew we moved into a fixer-upper, but we didn't quite realize the extent of the timing and the fixer-upper.
Yep.
It was just, honestly, when I say tornado of events, the house was just, there was so much going on. In the middle of all that, somehow bronchitis starts sweeping through the home. So we've got this bout of bronchitis going on. We were having a tree cutting company cut down the tree. The house was just surrounded by big, big, big trees. They were coming down while we were in the middle of all this. So the lead up to that is like probably still December 20th. We've got people in and out of the house.
Yeah, carpets being replaced, work, painting being done, tents being put up.
Stuff that just had to be done for animals that we have and all that stuff. So anyway, it was crazy. So in the middle of all that, like I said, sickness, and then you get poison ivy. And he is like, poison ivy just, there's a couple of people in the house that poison ivy wrecks their life for weeks if they get it.
Very allergic.
And he's one of it, and one of them. And so, but it was on his neck. And so the scene here is moving boxes, Christmas Eve, moving boxes still in a lot of places.
Which we had already decided we weren't going to decorate.
That's right. People were sick. He had poison ivy just ravaging his neck. I think somebody else had poison ivy. We had gifts, and we had been doing an Advent. That's the funny thing. We were still doing Advent.
We will do Advent every night.
We're still doing Advent every night in the middle of all of that.
Hey, Christ still reigns, baby.
That's right.
So no excuses, people.
That's right.
We were still doing it. But it was just there was no decor, really. And I remember Kevin dug through some of the boxes and hung up a couple of wreaths in the house and just tried to make it more joyful. And that was really, really special and sweet, really. Because I had all these gifts I had been accumulating prior to the move, prior to all this stuff. I dig them out. I could not find anything to wrap them with. And so Christmas Day is like Kevin's on the couch with this compress on his neck. And just trying to be as joyful as possible, but you could tell there was a lot happening there. People are coughing. And we're like, I found like a few cloth gift bags. And so we would like hand out a few gifts and be like, okay, give me the bags and go run and do an intermission and stuff more gifts in the same bags. And go. And it's probably one of the fun, it's going to be the Christmas we talk about the most.
I think some dear old soul predicted that to us, and they're like, this is going to be the Christmas that your kids are going to remember for the rest of their lives. Yes. And so far, they've been
But 2021. It was still, like, full of, I mean, it was hilarious. Yeah. We were all just laughing, and can you even believe this time we're having here? So,
yeah.
It was great.
One for the books, for sure.
For sure.
So, have you ever had a Christmas gift disaster, such as a total fail or something wildly unexpected?
I was going to say either the, you know, and probably 2021, that one you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just, didn't go well.
Yeah.
What about you?
It was a couple of years ago, I think, the football team that we like won the championship that year. And I collected these hats. And I was so excited for my good deal. It was like such a great deal, these championship hats. And I wrapped four of them up for the kids in a box. And I guess I just came across the deal twice and bought them twice and forgot. Because I'll get the gifts in, and the system in my head that works is get them in, put them in a box, label them, and put them to the side, even if I don't wrap them right away. And I guess I had done that and then didn't look back into what was in the box, and I gave them twice.
Not sure.
It was really funny. I was like, well, congrats twice.
I will say this. Go ahead. And I'll,
go ahead.
I was going to say, I do have one. Our first Christmas married, 2002.
Yeah.
So my wife is very practical and likes practical gifts. And I'm very sentimental.
Yes, true.
I want to be very thoughtful in our gift giving. And I've learned that you can be thoughtful and practical at the same time, thanks to you. And so, but that first Christmas, all she wanted was a vacuum cleaner.
Legitimately.
Which I thought was a test, right? I mean, coming out of a Southern Baptist background, it was like, this has to be a test. This is, she's not legitimately asking for a vacuum cleaner. And so,
temptation woman.
Yeah. And so I was, so at the end of that Christmas, you did not receive a vacuum cleaner.
I did not.
And her heart was broken.
Disappointed.
We're still married, though.
We worked it out.
Vacuum cleaner isn't adequate, really.
Since that time, I bought her numerous, and the kids, I bought her numerous vacuum cleaners.
Love a new vacuum cleaner.
Because she does love things clean.
Yep.
Very clean.
Yep. We've learned with you, just get what you say.
Yeah.
Don't try to think you want a sentimental kid.
When I say I want a gallon of honey, I want a gallon of honey.
Yeah. It's not a test. She's not lying.
So, is there a Christmas decoration at your house that has a silly backstory or a family joke tied to it?
I think many. So,
we're pretty sentimental people.
Yeah, and we have lots of stories that inanimate objects are tied to. Like, so that there's a bunch of those. But if I had to, like, I think what God wants for Christmas.
Yeah.
Is one. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's still available, but when the kids were really small, we got them this nativity that you build as little presents that have various figures of the nativity, and you read about them over 7 days. And so that was one. And then the pickles, where you hang the pickles on the tree at some point, and then they go find the pickles, and they're all numbered, and then whoever gets number one gets to open the first present for Christmas. So Christmas pickles and probably what God wants for Christmas.
Which is there like a country or something that actually does that for like it?
I think so.
Everyone does that?
I don't know the story behind it. I think it's on the box and we read it, but for some reason with all the other stuff we got going on, we can't
remember.
We can't remember. But there's a history behind it, supposedly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have this backstory with the bear, Bruno from Juno. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Juno, Alaska, this Kevin traveled and got this bear, and then when he would be gone, the bear would always go. There was a time where he was traveling more than he is now, and y'all were younger, and so he would take the bear wherever he went and send photos to us, and it was special because it was almost like y'all got to be with him on the trip, and you would wait and see where's the bear going to be today, and the bear's been to India, and Portugal, a bunch of different states,
Haiti.
But
yeah.
Portugal, India,
Haiti.
Yeah. The bear's been all over the place. So Bruno from Juno is a special little teddy bear that has traveled with Dad and has shown up. So anyway, there's this whole silly thing now where Bruno gives a gift every year, and it's been a tradition, and everybody knows it's not real, but it's just still funny.
So. And he has a bonanza.
Yes, with
the Bruno bonanza. And it's a throwdown.
It's intense.
It's during the 12 days of Christmas.
Yeah.
So that he gives those gifts.
Full-fledged party.
Yep.
There have been some good gifts.
Sounds really silly, but it's a family thing.
Yeah.
And there's been fights already about who gets to take Bruno when they get married and leave. So.
Yeah.
We'll find out in the will.
Just kidding. I'm just staring at you guys. Do you have a favorite one that you like?
One that's just really funny is the deer that always loses its head.
Oh, okay, the decapitated deer?
Yeah. We have this decorative deer, and his head falls off. And it just always falls off at the funniest times.
Yeah. Yep. It's typically when we're about to host.
Yeah.
And we look over and the deer's
decapitated. Or while we're hosting, and it's like...
Yeah.
We just laugh. You just laugh.
Oh, like last year when the whole top part of the tree lights went out? You'd already decorated it?
Yes.
That's funny.
Yes.
So, okay, that's really quick before we close. Everybody go. Describe Christmas in one word and then give a little reason for why you did that.
Mm.
I got mine.
Go ahead.
I would say fulfillment. Mm. I think it really culminates for me in fulfillment. Fulfillment, obviously, of the meta-narrative of Scripture as far as, like, Christ has come. He's here. He's incarnate. And so fulfillment in that regard, fulfillment in it's the end of the year, and yet fulfillment in that really we're kicking off the church calendar year, fulfillment in all the family time we get to carve out, as far as like each night together, fulfillment of lots of things and memories throughout the year. And then just it's always culminate for me in such a fulfilling time that I'm really ready to like, all right, let's dive in. Here we go again.
I was going to say joyful. It's just such a joyful time. Like, it's a really busy season for us at work. And so, and it has had been a very busy season leading up to that. But every night leaving work, it's like, cannot wait to get home and see what's on the docket for Advent, what we're going to be doing, and all the planning that goes into that. And so you won't get any more rest. but it's unbelievably joyful.
Sure.
And then that carries into the next day at work. Mm. And so the memories of that, and then the next excitement of, okay, the next day, what are we going to be doing? So, yeah, joyful for sure.
I was going to say joy as well. I think it's just like, even like with the lessons when you learn something, following the meta-narrative throughout the year with the chronological Bible reading plan, and then seeing how all the different things tie in from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Like, it's just, there's many moments you just can't help but be happy and joyful and smiling about activities, or when you've learned something new, or just, you know, the a nice drink and the music going. So I was going to say joy.
Yeah,
that's good. I'm going to go with magic, but I mean, it could also be joy, but magic in particular, because I think people often think, like y'all were saying, like a minimalistic Christmas, and it's commercial and Santa Claus, and so we can't do that, and so it's just going to all be about, like, the lesson, and then that's it. That's all that you get. And while I think the lesson is the most important thing of Advent, I definitely don't think that the rest of it should be excluded, and so I'd say there is a completely magical feeling when Christmas, when all the Christmas lights go up and all the decor, and then we start celebrating. It's every night we're all together around under the same roof, you know, at the same table, and we're all laughing and talking and conversing, and it's just so much fun. And so it would probably, a better word would be joy, but I want to say magic, because I think that people often are like, the magic of Christmas, and equate it with the magic. And so there is, there can be a magic, and an even bigger magic for Christians versus just the commercial. So it's not aside from,
almost like you walk through the wardrobe.
I definitely think it's, you think about the meta narrative, right? And but then if you back up for just a minute and look at the cosmos, right, all these galaxies that we'll never visit, why did God do that, right? And it's, is it just a waste, right? And it's like, no, he's absolutely creative, and all the stuff that, like, animals and insects that I'll never see in live, I might have seen them on pictures, or maybe we'll never see them, right? And then I've live and die and never know the things that God has created, because he's creative, right? And so I just think, to your point, it's like, we can be stretched in creativity. Like, we absolutely can be stretched in creativity. And so if it's to bless, it's to honor the Lord and bless your family, then be more creative.
Yeah.
If you still think we're being over the top, then I would encourage you to go pick up J.R.R. Tolkien's book called Father Christmas.
Letters from Father Christmas.
Yeah. And start reading those, because find out we're not the first ones to do this.
Right. Yeah. It's good.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for coming on.
That's a pleasure.
So much fun.
And thanks for being the first male. It was very brave.
Oh, yeah.
Very
hopefully the first of many. Come on, guys. We can do it.
So if you have a male that you think could aid to the female populace, let us know.
That's right.
If there is one worthy.
If there is one worthy.
Well, with that, everyone, be creative, know well the conditions of your flock, and get ready for a wonderful, joyful Christmas season. We'll see you on the next episode of the Feminine Glory Podcast.
Bye, gang.
Bye.
Gang.
Bye, guys. Well, everyone, thank you for joining us in this episode of the Feminine Glory Podcast. This is the part of the podcast where we're supposed to tell you to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, or just subscribe to Apple Podcasts, but particularly YouTube. So there you go. You can smash that, those buttons, and
or you don't have to. If you find us boring, if you don't like us, you can just not do that and not visit this podcast again. It's up to you. Would you rather
so
to listen or not to listen, to subscribe or not to subscribe?
That's the question.
Yep. So you can pick. You can pick. We'll leave it open.
Yes.
You can subscribe. We like YouTube.
Yeah.
Because it hosts our podcast. So.
And YouTube would like us to ask you to do this. So.
So there you go. We asked. So you can do that. Do that what you will.
We'll see you on the next one.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
Who knows? All right. Bye, guys.